Welcome to Mr. Black Pasta's Bloody Basement. I'm Mr. Black.
Isn't that cool?
This is my show, where we talk about God knows what.
Well, I've got my head in my heart.
Fuck you! No, fuck you! Fuck you!
I would be dead if they both fell apart.
Oh, no.
I've got no time for my fears.
Leave me the
fuck alone! They fade away.
Basement Podcast.
I'm Mr. Black Pasta.
The Bloody Basement Podcast. I'm Mr. Black, and with me is the guy who runs Dicey Riley's and sponsors my YouTube channel, Hen. Good to see you, Hen. And Mickey Ferry. Both of these guys are from Strabane. Mickey, you're actually a radio DJ on Drive 105. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep. I've been class. Here on a Wednesday. Every Wednesday, 3:00 to 6:00.
We've got a professional in our midst. And Hen, what about yourself? What were you up to today? Were you working?
Working all day.
Where?
I'm looking after Wayne's. I was working at Dicey's.
I love Dicey Riley's.
For 3 years, putting away the deliveries.
Was it fun?
Not particularly.
It's always fun at Dicey's. Come on, man. It's not work. Honestly.
We keep the phone for Saturday for 1 hour.
Do you ever get out and get a pint? I've never seen you out, like, just in the bar yourself.
Not with two children, I don't. But it'll change. I will.
You will? Yeah.
Yeah.
One day.
We're on the way back.
Was there ever a time when you were out and you were partying and you were
drinking?
I can't imagine it.
Never sat on.
Really? Yeah.
6 nights a week.
Goodness. And Mickey, yourself?
Well, I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it.
You're at all of my gigs for at least an hour. I know that you're there. You've got a nice spot around the corner in Dicey's that you kind of camp on. Every once in a while, I see a thumb going around the corner.
Yeah, it's
lovely.
Very deliberate. It's just right. You see everything. That's for pure nosiness as well.
It's
just
normally after like Prince or something. I see Mickey.
Bleh, oh, yeah, but a Prince. But a Tom Waits too.
Always Tom Waits,
like
yeah, that's
Tom
right.
Tom Waits
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but a later period. Latter period Tom Waits, shall we say?
Tell me about your Drive 105 radio show, Mickey. What do you do? I'm always making this stuff, so I don't have time to listen to the radio, which is...
Well, I've been there, I can't believe it, 7 years. Doesn't feel like it.
Seven years?
Doesn't feel like it at all. I started on Fridays, now I have a 3-hour show on a Wednesday.
Wow.
And just a bit of talk. I love playing local music, of course, because there's so much
awesome.
Great local stuff
and
going
on. Do you do that?
Oh, I do. And then
I definitely want to listen.
I have guests in as well, you know... Bit of live performance in the studio, and a little bit of a theme. We always have a classic album that we sort of delve into every show as well.
Oh, brilliant!
So,
that's what
event.
I miss.
Hey,
or an event.
Oh yeah, it's
Live Aid or
If there's an anniversary. Or, heck, it was Live Aid anniversary was a few weeks ago. So
right.
I just did the entire show on according to the running order of Live Aid that day.
Wow. That's really cool. That's
so the very
idea.
First song was Status Quo, and then we came in with a Style Council, and then it was whoever was after that, Paul Young, whoever. But we did it right through.
Yeah, wow.
So we started at 3:00, and I think it was about 5:15. We were at Paul McCartney, which was near the end.
You know what? That is right up my alley. I'll tell you the truth. Drive 105 is the station we listen to. That's a fact. I just can't listen to the other stuff. I need instruments in my music. You know what I mean? It's too much fucking fluff for me sometimes, and I need a bit of more, you know, rawness. So I'm really glad to hear that, and I'm going to have you write your hours down for me again, because I want to hear your show for sure.
I think you're going to be asked to perform on it.
Guy, that's...
Oh, God, no, really?
Yeah.
Possibly, yep. I mean, I remember you in the radio years back. I mean, one of the great legends of radio, Jerry Anderson.
Oh, Jerry Anderson,
I remember
man,
you on with
well.
Him, and that was, you know... And Jerry was a man of great taste, like, you know, so to be... And he was, you know, that must have been a hell of a compliment for you, to be championed by someone like Jerry.
Oh, big time. I mean, I remember, and God rest Jerry Anderson, you know, what a great guy. But I remember he brought me on. I'd written a song called Little Miss Naked You, and I sent him like a demo I recorded, maybe not on a phone. I don't think phones were high tech enough then to actually record on them, but maybe some small setup in the house. And I sent it into him, and he played it like every day for a month, right? And I had all my MySpace. This is, I'm showing my age a bit now. My MySpace account was bombed, and I had all these requests. I played so many parties for like rich golfers and stuff. and mansions in their room and all. And it was just amazing time in my life. And yeah, that was all down to Jerry.
Yeah, because the listenership he had, you see, you had those golf V-neckers, but also the guys out in the fields and some real eccentrics, you know. And
he had the personality. Yeah. You know, you listened for him, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad in a way now, because I don't think anyone's really been able to channel into that sort of eccentric Ireland in the way that Jerry... No, you know, it sort of gravitated to Jerry, and there's no, hasn't really been anyone there to replicate what he did. I don't think anyone could try. There only was one Jerry, really.
I think he'd be struggling to find that.
And then, you know, the stuff he did, I mean, I'd be on during the day, and we keep it kind of pretty safe still, because it is daytime radio.
Of course,
but
yeah.
But someone like Jerry, he didn't care. I mean, there's days I heard him playing Laurie Anderson, Superman.
I was in the studio with him one day, and he dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah.
I was he was brilliant.
Yeah.
Didn't care though. You know, he's such a good guy.
Like all 10 minutes of "Oh Superman," like by Laurie Anderson, which is a real bizarre piece of music still to this day. Like, he didn't care. You know,
He actually got me on the bill for. He was running a marathon in New York, I think it was, and Charlie Lansborough was playing in the City Hotel, and he got me on the bill as a support for that. It wasn't, you know, to support him going to New York and running the marathon. Wow, what a great guy. Hen, you must have, would you get Jerry Anderson and Strabane? You would. Through Ulster, it would come through there, wouldn't it?
I know who he is.
You know who he is.
He actually worked in Strabane before he got on the radio.
Oh, really?
He coined the phrase Stroke City.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Stroke City. Yeah. For those who don't know out there in America land, Stroke City is a term they call Derry City because there's this big crazy thing about Derry, Londonderry. What do you call it? It's historical. It's stupid, and for this program, we're going to call it Derry. Is that all right with you guys?
Correct.
Yeah, does that work for you?
Yeah, cool. I just call
that's
it,
what I know it as.
I call it this neck of the woods when I'm on the radio.
This neck of the
there's
woods.
There's a Derry in America as well. Derry in Maine.
That's right, Maine.
Stephen King.
And do you know what? I have a funny story about that, actually. We went to see It, the new It.
Yeah. Well,
the old one haunted my dreams as a child and got me into my horror YouTube channel later on in life. But we went to see It, IMAX, over the town in the Omniplex, and... IMAX is fresh, you know, for Derry, and it's really good, by the way. It's amazing, you know, the sound and the quality on the screen. It's unreal. But when the part came up and it said "Welcome to Derry" or something in the movie,
and the balloon,
you've seen the
balloon. I think there were a few giggles when I saw it as well,
and everybody was like, "Oh," they thought this was like an IMAX feature. Do you know what I mean?
Hey,
I was like,
"No, good show."
Yeah. Oh, great. Hey, great. I loved it.
Looking forward to the second one.
Well, what I do as well on the channel, Mickey, I don't know if you're too familiar with what I do. I make audio cinema productions where basically we just like cut people open with chainsaws and stuff.
Oh,
I mean, there's a story in between the gore, you know? It's not a gory. It's there's a good story. You know, some of them are 10 minutes, some of them are 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's all audio. So it's good.
It'll be running like a... Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side and that sort of Twilight Zone.
And the kind of, what was it, the one? I mean, we mentioned Tom Waits again, like the things like, what's he building? Even though it was 3 minutes.
Where did I talk about that? It might have been on Twitter, on Mr. Black Pasta's Twitter. I was talking on about that exact song, what's he building in there? And I said, this and the first two Eminem albums were what got me into narration. It was those two things, because you had Tom Waits with stuff like that, because you're always left asking the question, what the fuck was he building in there, right? And then you had Eminem with these skits where, you know, he's robbing a bank or he's killing someone or he's getting shot. And I was like, man, I would love to combine those two things. And that's where my channel came from, those two guys specifically.
Yeah. Very good.
So, yeah.
And that mostly, obviously, it's great fun building that level of tension and things like that as well.
Oh, brilliant. And I think as well, when I'm making stories, I get a chance to put the guitar down and sit at my piano and play. Because every story has piano in it that's scored specifically to that story. You know, it's not like a track I've created and slotted back in. It's everyone's unique to the story, even if the riffs are the same, but they're original riffs, if that makes sense. And that's just fun. There's no click track, there's no tempo or BPM. You're just playing to what's happening in the story. So the story happens first. You record the story first and then the music. And then I might put a video made out of stock footage around it. You know, so it's made reverse to how you would make a movie where you would kind of do your Foley at the end with sound and you would shoot it all, color grade it and whatever.
Right,
We are kind of backwards. You know, we're trying to play off your imagination. We want things that you can definitely listen to without having to watch. So if you're in the car, you're walking down the street, you can... You know, you can take part in this kind of entertainment.
Create the images in your head.
And that's what's better.
Yeah,
and that's far better than, you know.
Did you catch any of the, was it Mark Kermode's Secrets of Cinema? It was a running series he did.
No, but I would love to.
BBC4. I think apparently they're going to be on the iPlayer for a year.
Okay,
so
cool.
No problem. But the last, I think he saved the best for last. Horror. It was horror. And that would be his main genre as well. And just the things about the jump things, you know,
all these different
scenes and all. I mean, there was stuff I had never seen before, and it was like, just the last episode was last week there, fantastic.
Yeah, that's the stuff, and I would love that. I mean, I would love, even if there's an actor I like, I want to see interviews with them. If there's a comedian I like, I want to see what's their story, I want to know, and because that's it, that's the foundation of everything. If you combine those things and find your own way, you know, it's like a guidebook. So yeah, I anything to do with how something's created when it comes to horror or cinema, yes, please send me a link.
The only one I saw was a rom-com.
Oh, yeah, you did it. There's like six of them, but...
Mark Kermode doing rom-coms.
Yeah.
I suppose that format's a little easier, isn't it?
Yeah, you know? I mean, it was a co-write between himself and Kim Newman, so you could tell, a lot of people were saying you could tell that some of the stuff he was talking about, he wouldn't necessarily have been a fan of. But when it came to the horror stuff, I think he was... The Exorcist... He could talk all day about The Exorcist, you know.
Think if you were 11 when that came out, you know, I had never seen the old one, so I think I was 11, and the, was it the 25 year anniversary or something came out where they included the scene where she crab walks down the stairs. Spoiler alert.
Oh yeah, that's right. That was.
Well, if you haven't seen it by now,
it's
like telling people the end of Usual Suspects.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that.
Have you not?
No, I really haven't. Genuinely haven't seen that.
We saw The Exorcist. Hen and myself saw The Exorcist at the same time. This is a good story. We got it off a local gent who was every town's got the guy you get the pirates off. We went to him. And this is when The Exorcist was banned. And what we were,
they're in the bars with duffel bags and hats glow.
We got it off
hot teens.
And he told us that it runs out of it was a video tip, so he told us, it runs out a bit at the end, but the main, everything's there that you need to see. We're like, fair enough.
That's so typical, isn't it?
It was basically...
It was the same phrase every time with those guys, wasn't it? Oh, great copy. Hey, great copy. Yeah. Lethal.
And what part did it run out? At the take me scene? And it stopped. Jesus.
That's right. I don't know.
I still get on them, but it does.
Don't know the end for about, I don't know. It tells you the end then. It just tells you the end.
Oh.
You out there?
The Bloody Basement Podcast.
By Mr. Black Pasta.
I remember when I first came to Derry and working in Mason's as chefing. Of chefing and Mason's. I call it chef. It was like...
Cooking?
A bit more than cooking. I could chef, but I was sort of in between.
Like Seagal?
Yeah. Totally, 100%. And this guy used to come in with the DVDs. Old guy, you know. It was a bar rat, you know, that kind of guy. And he'd come in with the DVDs and all. Every one of them was awesome. Perfect copy. Screener.
Clanker.
It's a screener, you see. Is it? I still don't know what that means. You know what I mean?
Screener is where... They send it to the video shops or the DVD shops.
Oh, is that the promotional copies?
Aye. So
he was talking some shit. Say,
I want 20 copies of that. It looks that good.
Mm.
It's not really.
No.
Or it'd be sent to the awards panel and all.
Or it goes black and white for half the film. On and off, you know.
You are infringing on FBI copyright.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it now.
Come and get me.
I did all. I'm just going to stop.
But you don't get that anymore. That's crazy. I mean, you think about the times changed. And
the lengths you went to get copies of things. I mean, I remember you talk about black and white. I remember seeing the very Rambo 2. We got a copy of it, but we were told it was black and white. But we didn't care. We just wanted to see it.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? But it was...
Wow.
Because, the waiting lists to get it in the video shops, you're waiting weeks.
Mental, yeah.
I mean, you tell young people that now, they're like, what?
I mean, renting a film, I think if you tell some people about renting a film, they'll be like, what? You know, that's the digital age for you.
That's a lost art.
A lost art, yeah. Luckily, records still have got a pretty good hold, thanks to the... I think they're great. They're cool to look at, for starters.
Yeah.
And that sound is just something about it. Like, we have a record player in there, and if I can get records, I fucking play them. We'll sit and eat dinner and listen to a record. It could be a local band even, you know.
Yeah.
I just love the feeling of it.
When the local bands, they seem to really pride themselves in having a bit of vinyl.
It's still special. But, I mean, no one's walking around going, hey, our new album's out on tape. You know, there's nobody. We've got A-Track. We've got our new A-Track out. No? No, no one's really doing that. Or what was it you guys had? Betamax, was it?
No, it's an American thing.
Is that an American
yeah.
thing?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yep.
It
was here, but nobody had it.
It didn't really
I never,
care. It was
I
a
never,
bit of a war between
VHS.
But VHS won,
yeah.
won the war.
Oh, big time, yeah.
And they reckon porn was a big reason for that.
I was like,
really? Was it? Yeah.
So, it was easier to get porn movies and VHS. Oh, that's
was
why
like,
VHS.
Because people were copying all the porn.
Yeah,
Minidisc and CD.
Minidisc, we didn't have. I only
no.
saw when I
well,
came over
it was
here.
A complete flop.
Oh, terrible. I know a lot of backing track bands would have used them. Right? Because when I came over, that was the big thing. Right? And you still see, you know, like a Facebook sell groups and all, buy, sell, swap or something. You'll still see like someone selling a mini disc for £70 and you're like, get yourself on.
Yeah.
Seriously. But yeah. And the funny thing, the weird thing about them is that I don't know why they didn't take off, because it's much safer than a CD. It's enclosed and it's, you know, you're much less likely to get it scratched and stuff. So, and that's essentially what it is, a CD, a small CD in a casing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know why
all,
I didn't.
All recordings, if you'd have went to like a concert or a gig, all the recordings were done on Minidisc.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, there's a video shop just opened in Liverpool again.
But really?
Yeah.
For renting them?
Yeah.
How's that going to work, though?
All 80s and 90s.
Oh, so stuff you can't download.
Oh, right, right.
That's smart, eh?
But it's, because even in my mind still, I think, you know, a film, if I miss it in the cinema, I keep thinking, oh, I'll get it out in DVD. Well,
yeah.
But I was about to say video, but get it out in DVD. But,
yeah.
Not, you can't. Not,
no.
There's nobody there even to tell you lies anymore about the...
Yeah.
About the films. Is that film any good there? Oh, it's the best film ever.
You'll love it.
It's the last copy there.
The last copy.
Oh, you're original. If they give you an original. A pound of pirates.
$2.50 for a...
A fiver they were when I came.
Really?
When I first came to Derry,
right.
They were a fiver. And Napster was funny. Napster, it's not like now when you go on a torrent site and you can... Well, I don't. But maybe you guys do. I don't. I'm not a criminal. But they might be.
I have Amazon. Amazon Prime. I don't need any of those.
That's true, yeah. I've got Spotify and Amazon. Yeah, has to be done when you're in this business. But I remember with Napster, it's not like now.
If you didn't get the whole song, you'd have started at the start again.
You had half a song. And I remember there were people going, I only like the first verse and chorus.
Took an hour to get a song.
Playlists of first verses and choruses.
One hour to get a song.
And before that, to pirate music, you needed a karaoke machine. I'm sure we've all been there. Tapes and karaoke.
Yeah. I mean, there's a classic thing. That's about the only thing I miss from cassettes is the old... C90 compilation you made for people.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Got you people made for you. I mean,
makes
that was
sense.
Our education, I think, for a lot of people.
You can buy a CD now with the same with a playlist in the back, you know, you can write all the songs on it.
Right, right.
Yeah,
costs about £10. It's ridiculous.
God.
It's crazy where it's come. It really is crazy because I mean, the first album I ever bought was Spin Doctors. Pocket Full of Kryptonite. That was the first CD I bought. That was it was great.
Early 90s. Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. Jimmy Olsen Blues. Wow.
Little Must Can't Be Wrong.
Oh, 1-2. Prince
Pocket,
Time.
Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
4:30 was what it was called, not Time. What time is it? It's not late. It's
4:30. What was the singer called again?
Alexi Lalas. No, he looked like him.
Cross Baron.
Was that his name?
I don't know, I think.
I had the album. I had the first... you know, prints of the album. This is when they were just, you know, MTV hadn't boosted them yet at this stage. And I had the album and it was like for booking on the back of the album, it was like for bookings, call whatever the lead singer's name was and his number under it, like his actual number. This is what they were selling at the start, you know. So this was like...
Ten of the agents' names and...
Mental. And I missed that too, actually, now that you say that. I remember...
a lust of them bands.
I miss reading the inserts of CDs and tapes. That was something special as well. Yeah.
Crash Test Dummies.
Ah, Jesus.
Deep Blue something. Soul Asylum. There's a list.
And
they sold 5 million copies of an album off one song.
And this is mainly 90s music we're talking about, you know. And the thing is I remember being in the 90s. And in the 90s, you thought everything was better in the 70s and 60s and 80s, right? How wrong were we? wrong were we?
Oh, I mean, it's... You look at... there's songs... I think now, there's pieces of music that you hear. Like, I heard... There was something I heard. It was from the late 79. But the, I can't remember, the production of it was just not even 70, even some of the stuff in the 1980s.
Was it by chance Sam Brown don't or stop? Stop. Sorry. Was it by chance?
Oh, no, that? That would have been late 80s. I know.
Yeah, but 89. But Jesus, the production on that distorted organ at the end, holy fuck, that's better than productions that are coming out now.
Yeah, but that's
far.
Just it. I mean, that's almost 30 years ago. And you think back to 1989, Frank, when that came out, you think back to 1959.
Yeah. You know, and the well, sound, I can't you know, think back to there, well, unfortunately.
But you hear those, but you hear those sounds and all, and you know, there's things that were recorded 30 years ago that sound as if they could have been recorded. Easy. Obviously not, there's a lot of stuff that sounds very 80s and of its time, but there's a lot of stuff that's still to this day, how soon is now?
That's right.
That sounds like it could be out, something new this week. Just that's something very unique and otherworldly about it, that it's just it has no time or
Sam Brown was touring with Pink Floyd at that time.
Really? I didn't know that.
He was a backing singer for them.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's all.
I knew Marvin Gaye was a backing singer for David Bowie, but I did not know Sam Brown.
Oh, no, Luther Vandross.
Luther Vandross, that's what it was, yeah.
Young
Luther
Americans. Vandross.
That's right.
Yeah, gee, that's crazy, man. But speaking of old songs that you could listen to right now and you go, oh, what? That was when? Al Green, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?
Yeah.
Fuck. I mean, the sound is so
Motown
fucking,
had a sound, but that's...
But even that song particularly had like this, from that start when you had like these, the organ comes in just from the very start, you're going, I mean, I think it was in the Book of Eli, and I was like, oh, Jesus, does it really sound like that? Have they remastered it? And I looked it up, and no, it just sounded that well, you know?
And do you notice sometimes some of those Motown bands, like the Temptations... Like and I think Jimmy Ruffin did it too. They re-recorded songs in the 80s and maybe the early 90s, and they sounded terrible. They were that 90s production, or the 80s production, and it was just stuck at that time. Whereas those original recordings from the 60s are just glorious.
Because
stuff.
They couldn't get the copyright to the song, so they re-recorded
it. That's true, yeah. Merle Haggard had a big problem with Epitaph Records. I think it was Merle Haggard. Hi, Merle Haggard. Epitaph Records, and like he wasn't paid a single royalty till the 90s or something.
There's a lot of them bands. The lead singer would have tried to be that was their his backing band rather than like Brian Pullen, the Tremolos, and what do you call your man out of the Animals?
Ah, that's right.
They were all re-recorded stuff throughout the years. That's why
Stones would have done it as well. Yeah,
He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother came back out with the Hollies. Yeah. Your man tried to go a solo version. Have his own stuff.
It's funny you're saying that. I saw a poster today for the Monterey Festival, 1967 it was, I think. Otis was on the bill anyway, so it must have been at most 67 or 68. But it was all the Birds were playing. I love the way.
Wow.
There was no talk about a way of advertising. It said get eight miles high with the Birds.
Jeez, totally.
But the Animals
heard
were
a first in that or anything. It was brilliant.
But the Animals were on the bill, and I found it strange because it said whatever that
Eric Burden.
Eric Burden and the Animals. And I thought that's strange. I thought not just the Animals, but his name on the bill along with the Animals. I saw that today, funnily enough, and
all
thought it strange.
I'm surprised Paul McCartney didn't try to do it.
Yeah.
Well, tell me this, guys. We're obviously all into our music. For me personally, it's different types of music. If I like it, I like it. And I want to hear the album, you know, if I like it. That's just how it works for me. But for you guys growing up, we're not women here. I think we can ask each other's age. And that's not sexist, by the way.
42.
You're 42. I'm 33, Mickey.
I'm a month shy of 42.
Okay, so... So, yeah, there's about 10 years difference in this, but I would say that you would have caught a lot of the music I would have caught growing up, unless it wasn't here. So I'm always interested to find out what was going on while I was growing up in America versus what was going on here. So let's go back. Let's take it back to 90s, early 90s, MC Hammer. I remember my mother going to a party and MC Hammer was blasting.
MC Hammers.
Okay, and that... Big. Around that time, what else was going on? Because we had N.W.A., we had Ice Cube, Snoop, Dre.
That was all going on, but it wouldn't have been big. There would have been people listening to it. Like,
okay.
Obviously, Dre would have been listened to, but...
I think, Nirvana, the explosion of
Nirvana
was just around the corner,
huge,
and that changed a lot of things over here for a lot of people. Like,
That
was a big moment for a lot of people.
It was Eurotrash dance music. Would have been...
Yeah. Oh, so this was flooding, flooding off of the 80s then?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and I notice a lot of times that the 80s sort of charts over here are completely different from the American ones. And you could have the same bands in them. Like, you know, you could even have the 70s or something. You could have the Stones or Aerosmith. But hold on, they have a number one in America with this song, but it's a, this is a number one over there. And yep. they never crossed over. Elton John, Leave On.
We also had...
Nobody knows that here.
The Billboard Top 100. With Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem.
Oh, you had Casey Kasem?
Yes. On a Sunday.
This morning. Was my hero, man.
2 o'clock in the morning.
And John Garabedian with Open House Party. Right? I loved Casey Kasem, yeah.
We were really listening a lot of stuff through MTV as well, but they did play a lot of European.
Mm.
Jeez, MTV's changed over the years.
Oh, no, that's...
Yeah.
It was a big thing.
There used to be a solar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Used to be 120 minutes.
That was brilliant. Yeah. That was like the alternative...
The 90s, yeah. I mean, specifically the sort of mid-ish 90s was like all grunge. I mean, it was it was great. It was Stone Temple Pilots. You had Red Hot Chili Peppers, even so Aerosmith, you know, Clapton. It was amazing. Yeah. Green Jello, I don't know if you've heard of those guys. Yeah. Pardon me.
Alice in Chains, obviously.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nutshell and... Is it Nutshell you call?
What do you call that ore band? Thought they were in Nirvana.
There's a few of them now.
Silverchair.
Silverchair. Wow. Anthem for the year 2000.
But what was also going on over here, and it's something I never got involved in or was interested in, but admits it did. We all admits it did, was the rave scene, the rave culture of Kelly's in Port.
Acid House.
That was huge. Like it was.
Was it that big? Yeah, see, we didn't have
I never
that.
Really identified with it at all. It didn't happen for me, but friends who did, like, but that was huge.
Well, I can understand you've popped a few yachts and... which are E's for anyone who's listening. You've snorted a few lines, you popped a few yawks, you're steaming. Yeah, I'm say that music sounds great.
Yeah.
Wouldn't, you know?
Yeah, I mean, now they have, even now that's got like nostalgia, I mean, they have so many, that's all.
And they bring the reunions
retro night,
as well.
Reunion nights and so forth now as well, like, you know, but that was a huge, huge scene for everyone involved in it, like, you know?
Oh, cool. I mean, it's just, it's so different from what was here and what was there, you know? And I mean, even, I think, like, it's totally my missus told me that, like, ABBA came off of Eurovision. I had no clue anything about
Waterloo.
That. Yeah, well, we actually watched all the Eurovision winners from the start through, maybe 2 or 3 months ago. I was just interested to see the times, because I could sort of relate to, well, what were we doing in the 60s? We would have had, you know, and it was mental to see such a difference. But now, with social media and the internet and all that, it's just crossing over, isn't it? Most of it. You know, you go to Latvia and you're hearing a lot of the same songs on the radio among their own music. And I would say the States is too, you know. So it has changed, man. It really is changing, you know.
Yeah.
One day we'll all have the same accent.
Yeah, that's true as well. Like, because it's sort of, be. You know, you watch them, you know, in Eurovision and a lot of them, you know, doesn't matter where they're from. But
you wouldn't know sometimes. You'd be like, where are they from? Is that American? Like there was a clip this year of a band from the Netherlands, I want to say, and a cowboy hat on. Everybody's Got a Little Outlaw in Them was the name of the song, and they were fucking great. I mean, it was real rockabilly, bluegrassy, southern rocky, original song and all. It was fucking brilliant. And they were like, my missus was like, yeah, Netherlands. And I was like, what the fuck?
You would
think
that
this guy's from Texas.
Good songs don't normally go well in Eurovision.
Australia's
in the Eurovision now.
Australia?
That's right.
Which is just bizarre. I
thought there were some great acts this year from what I saw, but I was gutted for the final result. I thought it was horrendous, and that just killed it. Yeah. I think you and I had a conversation here about that, and I was like, well, I think they're doing... And then, boom, the winner. And I was like, no, you're right. It's a shame.
It's political now, but...
Yeah, it is. I like the whole unity, and the there is a good vibe when you see the crowd there and all, but, you know, it should still be about the music.
I think they're all off their heads.
There's the one in my head now is, what is it, was it a German one? Did Germany win it with? Oh, I'm talking 1980s. I'm talking early 80s.
I must have seen it with
a little piece or I can't remember. Whoever, people listen to this will probably get it tonight.
Come on in. We've got a visitor for the podcast.
Hello.
My best friend, Jermaine. We're going to take a wee break and play a song. Since you guys are from Strabane, why don't we play Darren Doherty, Die Your Heart?
Very good.
I think that would be a really, really good one.
Excellent.
Yeah,
definitely.
You'd be thrilled to hear that. We'll take a break. I'm Mr. Black Pasta with Hen, Mickey Ferry, and my best friend Jermaine will be back in a minute.
You were afraid to send the message. You were afraid in case they'd laugh. You were afraid of being honest, 'cause being honest is being crass. You were afraid they'd hear the yearning, afraid they'd run a mile, make hay with empty promises, and poke fun at your style. And you heed the voice of strangers, and you hear them when they speak, pointing at imperfections, but you can't hear them when you sleep. No, you can't hear them when you sleep. No, you can't hear them when you sleep. There's a game we're all at play here, and it takes years to learn the rules. And the forfeit never changes. You raise your heart, become the fool. And there's no cheap pass or strategy I've ever yet to learn. Well, I just guess this is your turn. Well, I just guess this is your turn. Well, I just guess this is your turn. You can't die your heart. You can't die your heart. You can't die your heart any color you like. You can't die your heart. You can't die your heart. You can't die your heart any color you like. It won't fold away, won't just dissipate. Won't anticipate the next big chance of love. You can't die your heart. Why would you even start? It doesn't matter what they say. It didn't matter what I said. It didn't matter what I said. It didn't matter how I said it. You can't die your heart. 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 Any color you like. It won't fold away. Won't just dissipate. Might anticipate the next great chance of love. You can't die your heart. Why would you even start? You can't die your heart. Why would you even start?
The Bloody Basement Podcast, I'm Mr. Black. That was Darn Doherty with Die Your Heart. That's a great singer-songwriter from Strabane that I've had the pleasure of both seeing and playing with. And a regular at Dicey Riley's, right?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday, yeah.
The Spirit of Radio.
The Spirit of Radio, and it's a great set. I got to play on it while I was starting to get a cold there a few weeks ago, and it was just a pleasure. I was sad that I had to run away and go play in another bar then. I wanted to just stay in Dicey's. And that's the feeling I always have in Dicey's. And speaking of Dicey's, speaking of bars and live music and things like that, we are bound to have a couple stories between us about crazy shit or funny shit that's happened in bars. Because, Hen, you've worked in Dicey's for how long?
2 days.
2 days. Straight?
24 years.
24 years. And Mickey, you've been in bars.
I've drank there 24 years.
Yeah. And you run quizzes and I suppose you all
DJ there. Just general, but just literal piece of the furniture.
I'm getting there. That's where I have absolutely no stories.
I swear to you.
Don't lie. No. Don't lie. Somebody's bound to have smashed a pint glass.
I'll tell you one story. There was a band playing downstairs one night, and the lead singer had got barred from the pub.
No.
And they tried to get him back in, and it was John Hannigan was running the place at the time, and he wouldn't let your man back in. Your man got barred for the Saturday before, he was caught drinking cans of Heineken in the toilet during an Ireland football match.
Cans of Heineken. Like, I mean, you can, there's a little bit of respect I can have for someone who sneaks in a little bottle of whiskey. At least they're discreet.
No,
and
two cans of Heineken, and he stuffed the two cans down the toilet.
No.
Right, so the band had to play anyway.
Right.
Because they were down to play. So what they had to do was,
without a lead singer.
The lead singer had to stand outside the bar.
No.
And they passed the microphone out to Honda. And he sung the whole gig from outside.
Don't lie. That's not true.
Swear to
you. Is that true?
Swear to
you. Oh, my true God.
Story.
Really? True wow.
Story.
That's brilliant. I love that.
It might only have been 45 minutes or something. I can't remember now.
Don't water it down. It's great, isn't it?
45 minutes outside.
Out on the street.
Fucking
on the
hell.
On the street.
That's great. I've never heard that. That's brilliant. That's, all right, Mickey, your turn.
Well, I could really top that. Well, no, I don't think that. I've been there a long time, seen a lot of things. And
I suppose it's Dicey's, and I mean,
good,
it's just
honest
a
music.
Great spot. Like, you know, it really is. It's one place that I feel safe, and when I'm playing out, and I just enjoy it. I think it's like a big family almost. You know, you walk in, and it reminds me a little bit of Rodden's in Muncrana, which is another great spot. It's that same vibe.
Yeah.
You walk in, and the people behind the bar, they were or are still regulars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a good feeling, you know.
Yeah, it's so a very easygoing vibe. Like,
and there's never like a doorman in these places. You know, I've never seen a doorman in these places. The public bar, it just takes care of itself and the people run it well.
Yeah.
And it's just a great spot, Dicey Riley's. And I do have to say # ad or sponsor, but forget about all that. The place is amazing. If you're ever in Ireland, if you're ever near Strabane,
you've taken a wrong turn.
Don't go in any bar but Dicey's. And that's not saying anything about Strabane. That's just saying something about Dicey's. It's a great spot. Leave
I mean,
right.
I'd be one of the oldest drinking there probably now. But when it first became Dicey's, it was a godsend to people my age that were in the 100%. Music. Because before that, the bars we had in Strabane, no disrespect to them, people had a great time there, but I just hated the music. I hated going upstairs to the discos. Just,
of course.
It was that area we talked about, the early 90s and the music of that time, sort of just pre-grunge just about, and it was just, it was terrible.
Yeah.
But then it seemed the grunge and the whole Britpop thing seemed to coincide with opening a Dicey's. It was
right
just a breath. So it was just a breath of fresh air, and I'm just totally comfortable there still to this day. I'm just kind of like sitting in the corner now, but still, it's only a place for me.
Pub should be for everybody, like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And it should be a place that you could wear your bedroom slippers down to.
Well, I mean, it's short for public bar, isn't it? From my understanding, anyway.
Oh yeah,
And this bar is
public
so
house.
Welcoming. Public house.
Christ.
Yeah, good man. Public house and Dicey's public house is just so welcoming to everyone. I think it fits the term completely. Great place as when it comes to gigging, it completes me. And so running a great bar there.
It gives people a chance to play live in front of people that they wouldn't get a chance anywhere else. Because
I've
they're
never
doing their
felt
own material.
Judged or hassled in Dicey's at all. You know, beyond the drunk sort of requests and all, and that's grand. I don't mind those.
Apart from
great.
Christmas, you get it in every bar. You'll get the tossers at Christmas.
Oh, you get the Christmas Eve drinkers.
You don't see them any other time of the year, but you'll see them at Christmas.
Yeah, because they come in to see if they can get that free drink.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah.
It takes a year for you to forget what they did.
Yeah.
To get barred.
And it's Christmas, so what are you going to do? You're going to send them home on Christmas, but
you
it's
better
cold.
Believe it.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
And I get that, you know. I love the place.
Mr. Black Pastas.
Bloody Bass.
Basement Podcast.
Ever tell you Kurt Cobain's grandfather was in Daisies?
Really? Wow. Yeah. When?
2008, I think it was.
Leyland Cobain, you called him.
Wow.
His family are from Tyrone.
His wow.
heritage is from Tyrone. And I don't know, he landed in Orbar in a town. They told him to go to Daisies. Lovely, lovely man, you know.
Oh, brilliant, man.
Lovely.
When was this again, sorry?
2008.
Yeah.
2008.
December 2008.
You know,
he's dead.
Wow.
But he wanted to talk about Kurt, and he wanted to know what people thought of him. And
of course.
Imagine coming to Stirvan to ask about your grandson.
I suppose you would be, you would wonder, wouldn't you? What was it like in other countries? Did they hear about him here? Did they, you know? But right. Obviously, I mean, it's Kurt Cobain.
The effect was all over the place.
Of the biggest selling album of all time was Thriller. That's been eclipsed this week.
Oh, sorry. Where?
In the world? No, sorry, in the US. US. US record sales.
Do not tell me it's something really stupid.
Basically, it's not an album. It's a greatest hits. The Eagles. 71 to 75 is now the biggest selling US album of all time. It's now eclipsed Thriller.
See,
and that's a greatest hits.
I think I was expecting you to say something like Gangnam Style.
Oh right? no.
So I think I didn't fall as hard as I should have.
I don't know why.
Because I'm kind of like, okay, well, I mean, those guys can play.
That's some safe fans.
That was always a big seller. But why? Maybe it's Glenn Frey's death over 2 years ago. Yeah. Maybe that's generated sales and they're still turning with.
There's just the whole new coming out.
So it's just quite strange that now it's just suddenly eclipsed it as opposed to years before, because it always sold well, like, you know.
I take pleasure in knowing that the best-selling album in Ireland is David Gray, White Ladder. I take pleasure in knowing that.
Is that the biggest-selling album?
That's the best-selling album in Ireland ever, over everyone, to this day, to my knowledge, unless that's changed in
not
the past
U2
3 years.
Not a U2 album, no. Right.
Not U2, not Michael Jackson, not Daniel O'Donnell. You know,
Give him time.
Nathan Carter, he's getting
the Pope's visiting. Daniel's playing at the Pope's thing.
We're talking about a nation that put Journey back to number one.
Is that what happened? Is that what?
Don't Stop Believing.
I couldn't figure out what was going on. I just remember being out, and all of a sudden, this Journey song that I grew up on was huge again, to the point of annoying
one here for
proportions.
No, the Sopranos
months.
Had a
that's what it was
say
doing,
with
yeah.
it as well, but
when I was
but over here show. It was I think it was doing well over here anyway.
Did it just pop back up?
What do you call?
What's that horror show called? That
Ugly. They covered it.
No.
But it's in the very last scene of the Sopranos.
Well, that fell through, didn't it? That show fell pretty hard, didn't it?
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah, you can't have a pedo sing to me. I'm not okay with that.
I don't think that. They can't even show it anymore now.
Jesus, that was a hard fall.
You can't no more Cosby Show or anything.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? I saw a guy trying to make an argument the last day on some YouTube channel, and he was going, you know what? Bill Cosby will always be, even though he did what he did, but on the TV show, he'll always be Dr. Huxtable to me. And I was like, nope. Nope.
Erased.
He
terminated.
He's, he lost that one.
Nah.
Safe to say.
Watch the Bernie Mac DVDs now instead.
Stick to Bernie Mac and Kevin Hart, man. They're all right. They're all right so far.
Well, Bernie's...
Dave Chappelle's my man, though. Dave Chappelle's... Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart. Do you know what? I love comedians. I love Ricky Gervais as well. I love the thought process behind it. I love that they're able to sort of... It's not that they're getting away from political correctness. They've just found a way that we can talk about things that and laugh about it. And we probably should do.
Yeah, I think that's Chappelle's... Plus. His recent comedy specials too. He touches on the whole Cosby thing. I mean, because it's tough for a lot of comedians who he was a big influence upon. I mean, most comedians in America were inspired by Bill Cosby,
100%.
Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor and George Carlin. That's probably many, the Holy Trinity for
and
them
many
all.
Rapists. So that's a fact, though. You know, think about it. You know, I'm sure there was plenty of them.
They'll have to go back and rate their influences.
The Bloody Basement Podcast. By Mr. Black Pasta.
I love hip-hop as well. I've always had a good hip-hop, good wordsters. I like lyrics. You know, I'm not a big Kanye fan and that stuff, but I want to dig into the lyrics and find the double meaning and stuff. I love that stuff. So I've always been a big fan of Eminem for that and Tupac, guys like that. But I've always said, imagine.
He's still going yet, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Tupac.
Yeah, he's still going, man. I saw him last week. He was in Dicey's.
He's prolific. I'll give him that.
Oh, he's fucking great, man. Super. Eminem then was like, yeah, that's my hero when it comes to hip hop. And I've always said that what would happen, what would happen to all the rappers right now in the world, right? Because anyone can rap now. You know what I mean? We've got Dara Kelly.
Ed Sheeran.
He can, though. He can. I give him that.
Next subject.
Well, we've got Dara Kelly from Strabane, who can rap as well. Very good. Yeah. Well, and Dara's white, you know. I do a bit of rapping. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm Persian, you could say. I've got swarthiness going on. Still don't know what that means, but so all these people now suddenly think that they can rap and they are rapping. Vanilla, nah. See, this is what. This is why I thought Eminem wouldn't be successful, because we had Vanilla Ice first. Eminem comes out and he tears down the barriers. And
was he not Dr. Dre's protege?
You want a good, want to see a good special? Get on Netflix and watch, fuck me, 4-part. It was on HBO first and they released it for Netflix.
Oh, Defiant parts. Ones?
Defiant Ones. Yeah. Holy fuck. You want to blow your mind? You don't realize how connected Bruce Springsteen, Stevie Nicks, and all these fucking bands are, the Stones and are to Eminem and all this. I didn't know much about Jimmy Iovine until I watched that. And after watching that, I have fucking huge respect for the guy. And all the people on the show, it was fucking amazing from start to finish. Brilliant. But less serious of a topic, what would happen if all these you know, unified sort of rappers and from different countries, because you're getting it. Russia's got one of the biggest battle rappers in the world for views over everyone, right? You know, what happened if all these rappers all of a sudden, right, found out Eminem was a pedophile? What happens to these? Because they all are getting their style. Everything changed when he came out. Regardless of black or white, everything changed.
Yeah, it's the argument of that. It's the argument of the ongoing argument of the art over the artist.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing to reconcile with and a hard thing to engage with.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm fans of certain musicians who have, they're not pedophiles, but very questionable views that I don't agree with.
I think it's sort of where do you draw the line, don't you? I think when it comes to the pedophile line, Lost Prophets. Nobody's listening to Lost Prophets anymore.
No.
Gary Glitter, Lost Prophets, off the playlist. Yeah. Never. Yeah. Never.
Never.
But Phil Spector produced songs still get played in the radio.
But that's producing, I think, and it's, well, for me, it's less of a representation of the artist's soul coming in your ear. You know what I mean? For me, it is anyway.
But he had a big impact on it. Christmas, that Christmas album, that's just, you know, his wall of sound, the Phil Spector wall of sound.
It's hard, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
everybody's got a past. They're bringing up everything. Morgan Freeman.
What? Don't ruin Room Morn.
Morgan Freeman. I don't even know what he did. What did he do?
Well, there was talk of an appropriate behaviour. He's apologised, don't we?
It wasn't quite Kevin Spacey, I'm guessing.
No, I don't know the ins and outs of
it. We need to know the full Spacey story as well.
But, you know, you look at sick rock stars in the 50s and 60s. Like, I mean, come on.
Elvis?
Yeah.
There must have been,
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Elvis.
Yeah. I mean, she was underage and his niece or something.
His cousin
was it?
Yeah. First cousin.
Yeah.
Bill Wyman.
Really?
Bill Wyman married.
Well, they were. She was very
Smith,
young.
Mandy Smith.
They were very young.
I mean, I suppose
she was very young.
She was 14 when he started whatever.
You know, I mean, how do you handle that?
He got the boot from the Stone straight after that. Like,
I mean, what year do we draw a line in the sand and say, right, after this year, nobody's forgiven for it? You know, because you go away. I mean, you. Touching Cosby there, do you know what I mean? And some of these, it's like, fuck. What
different ages, different times.
Different eras and different crimes, I think.
Charlie Chaplin, apparently.
Really?
He's dead, so we can say it.
Well, I mean, you've got a...
There was someone I'm over, was it?
I mean, you've got a full-on rape in a film, don't you? From a French director. Is it French? Is he French or Italian?
It's not Roman
Polanski. It's Brando. Marlon Brando was the guy. I mean... For me, that has to change it for me. Do you know what I mean? If I know that, that has to change it for me. especially if the guy's admitted.
Yeah.
You know, it has to change it for me. I hate that it does, but it has to.
A bit bad, I don't know, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you think
of Hitchcock as well.
You think of the, I mean, obviously, the victims, like, if they were listening to us, like, you know, us having the, our only problem is engaging with the work. You know, they have a lot more to deal with, like, you know, the victims, when you think about it.
100%, yeah.
Chappelle is very, he talks about, there's one of the new specials, like, he covers the three times in his life that he met O.J. Simpson.
Ah, brilliant. Yeah.
First time I met him, he was with, how can I put this, his soon-to-be slain wife.
Hey, Dave Chappelle's brutal. He is brutal. Yeah. And you know what? That's freedom of speech.
Yeah.
You can say what you want. I was listening to a podcast today. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was yesterday. But they were basically defining freedom of speech as, like, you have the right to say what you want, but they have the right to say something back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They can. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you can't threat. You can't make threats and stuff like that, obviously.
And Satan.
That's, totally different.
Racism or anything.
But in comedy, you know, someone tells a joke, you know, you can tell that joke, but.
Well, definitely the comedians of the 70s doing the racist thing that they did.
Even Eddie Murphy could have been put down for that now, if you look back.
They definitely helped the thing along. They might not have come across, but I don't think they were as sinister as they were.
No, I think it did pull it in the divide a little bit. Take guys like Eddie Murphy, and Eddie Murphy was doing jokes about, and he was saying faggots. Do you know what I mean? He was calling homosexuals,
which was all right terminology and for that time,
obviously, and they loved it. Do you know what I mean? Everybody loved it. It almost brought this, like the Italians and the black people sort of thing he did, and he would do the white guy voice or the Elvis voice.
Right.
And that just brought the whole room of races and religions and everybody together. It didn't divide anything. If anything, it cut that tension and brought everyone together.
Sort of attacked everybody, didn't it?
And attacked himself, because it's, you know, that's the thing, is it's you make a joke about anything.
Yeah,
it's the joke.
I mean, comedy, stand-up comedy's in trouble in a way, because that's why they're doing Netflix specials now, because they can say basically whatever they want, or HBO specials. A lot of them now are not touring, they're not doing the university circus, because you just can't crack jokes to students anymore now.
Students have, you can't, I've noticed myself that, and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
PC,
yep. PC, and this is, and you know, when you look in terms of America, it's really bad at the minute over there, but you see these, as they call it, the social justice warrior, right? And they are real. They exist, you know, and it's mad, because this group of this side of it, when I was growing up, this, I don't know what you call it, the left or something, right? That's, I would have identified more with this side. And, you know, I would have considered myself less of a conservative, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Now I'm like, I can't take part in this anymore. This, I don't want either side. This is,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
You sort of start asking yourself, why are there sides? Why can't we all have a voice independently? And it's just very weird at the minute. It's very, there's a guy, Jordan Peterson. Have you heard of this guy? He would talk, and he's a lecturer, and he sort of stand up for freedom of speech and stuff like that. And this is a guy, I would listen to him, and a lot of things he says, I'm like, yeah, I can understand your side of the point, right? And it's just a conversation he has. He's not inciting hate or anything like that. But then these students are coming to his, like, lectures with air horns and pots and pans and banging them and roaring, screaming at him. And you're like, whoa, what are you doing? You're the side I would have, like, supported in the 90s and growing up. And now I'm like, what is going on? You're turning into the Nazis now. You know, everybody's got this. And that's the thing, isn't it? There's these names being flung around to dehumanize the other side. Neo-Nazis. Do you know what I mean? Faggots. You know, you could go on and on and on with these sort of titles. And all it does is take away the humanity from someone. No one's having a conversation like an adult.
Yeah, no, and just disagree. Just disagree and move on.
That's, yeah, there's nothing wrong with disagreeing sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Just, I mean, that was okay. That's the way it was years ago. You'd hear, you know, just... Obviously, before social media, you read a print media interview or something, and you didn't like, you didn't like what they said, but what are you going to do about it? There's nothing you could do about it. You had to just get
a letter.
You had to write a letter.
It was much better when you had to write a letter. That's what we should call the episode. It was much better when you could write a letter. You could
write a letter.
It totally was, though. It was, because by the time you finish with the letter, you're like, it's the whole thing about, like, when you're annoyed, write it down. Write a letter to yourself, right? And then burn it, or once you finish the letter, you'll feel like you've vented. And I think that's probably what happened. People were like, I'm fucking writing a letter.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Auntie Annie or whoever is in the fucking newspaper. And they write it and they're going, and they've calmed down and they've looked at it maybe, and they've said, no, maybe I don't want to say
that. Yeah, it'd be a week before it's printed, and then a week before they heard it. And,
but now
and,
it's instant, isn't it?
Yeah. That's part of the problem, I guess.
Are you on social media much, Hen?
Facebook, just.
Would you be on much, though? Would you be surfing your timeline?
Not as much, no.
I would, yeah, but I don't get involved for that reason, because I do remember that time. You know,
I have to be careful, man. I do.
I can't stay off your when it comes to that.
I do get involved, but I don't surf the timeline. I refuse to do it. If I go on, I don't even have a Facebook app on my phone. I have just the browser.
Yeah.
So I have to go into the browser, Facebook. So I go in, if something on the main screen or the next one or a wee bit down, maybe. But I'm not scrolling for anybody.
Yeah.
It's got to pop up because I just like seeing my friends and having something to talk about.
Yeah.
I like when my friends go, did you see our new dog? No. What? It's great.
You're the fisherman rather than the fish.
Yeah. Well, or the, rather than
that
the
sheep. Freedom of speech on Facebook. People think they can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And
they can't.
Without any retribution at all.
They don't realize, you can't threaten people. You can't go on Facebook and say, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. That name and shame. Name and shame.
Factual. I mean, name everyone. And
shame. Depends on what they're naming and shaming.
I mean,
I hate bullies and I hate pedos. I'm all for naming and shaming them. Outside of that, I don't want to be sharing loads of fights and all. I don't see what that creates. World star and all that, fight compilations. No, because I don't know the story here. I don't know, this guy's fighting that guy and he just kicked his ass, but maybe that guy was being bullied. You didn't give me the story, you just showing me fight clips.
See, that's there's a lot of the problem. Like, people have half a story. They mean, sure, you need to know. I mean, that's the thing about print media, journalists. Most of them, you like to think they have the evidence, they have facts before they say anything, whether you agree with them or not. But people on Facebook, they're not journalists. They get half a story and that's enough for them and off they go.
Yeah, because they get paid.
But they're spoon-fed this stuff by people and they share it. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. It's rubbish.
I'll tell you what I do, right? For my channel, for my horror channel, I write stories and narrate them, produce them into audio cinema. But I take I take a location that I grew up around, or I take something that happened to me and I just fucking pile it in with stuff, except till I say so. That is true, 100%. Yeah. But every other one, that's where I sort of learned that, hey, hold on a minute, I could do some of my own stories, but fiction them up, completely change them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I started doing that because the story's so much better. I'm not having to show you on the TV. It's basically the same as text, only I'm telling it to you. So your imagination can create all the special effects I want. And that's exactly what journalists do. And that's what they know. So they can juicy up the story.
It's an interpretation.
The only difference is I'm selling mine as fiction. Do you know what I mean? And they're putting this out and people are taking it. It's like the thing you get on Facebook about, there was this orange I bought at Tesco that had red blood filled with AIDS in it. Careful buying your orange at Tesco.
Yeah.
How is that not terrorism? Do you know what I mean? How is that not terrorism?
Or I got food poisoning the night.
Yeah.
Domino's pizzas.
Yeah, yeah, we've had food poisoning a couple of times, but we didn't post up.
I think you need to get the environmental health involved.
Yeah, I would ring the place for sure. Yeah. And get my vouchers. No, 100%, yeah. But pedos and bullies, I get them out there. As long as I've got the full story.
Oh, full stories, definitely.
I need multiple sources. I'm a stickler for that. I'm really bad with it. Once they gave me the internet in my hand, it was like, well, then I really should know the facts. So if I have a question in my head before I go to bed, I have to know. I'll type it in, right? Mrs. would get on to me. She'd be like, stop fucking researching everything I say. And it's like, I fucking want to know if it's true. You know what I mean? I want to know if that's right. And if that's, because there's all these old wives' tales about, like, don't go outside with your hair wet, you'll get sick. And that's just bollocks. That's not true at all. And I'll tell you how far that one goes back. I dated a girl and I used to watch their dog when the family would go on holidays in the summer in Bunkrana. I watched the dog. And then when they came back, the dog was staying with me. I give the dog a bath and was walking it over to their house. And the mother rang me and said, how far are you? And I said, I'm not far. I've got the dog. I just gave her a bath. And she's like, oh, no, don't do that. And I was like, what? What's wrong? And she's like, I don't want her to get a cold. Right.
Yeah.
That's an old wives' tale gone a bit too far. So I like to know and just sort of correct myself. And that's the worst thing you could have done was give me the internet in my hands. Did you find yourself doing that as well?
On occasion, I would just definitely check things. I mean, I check. I never believe any photograph I see, even as a doctored or whatever. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, you do a bit of research work and you'll find the original source of that photo and it's totally different. They're wearing a different shirt. Yeah. They're wearing a different whatever, scarf or whatever, or that's whatever way it's been manipulated to suit a certain narrative or, you know. But people just see it and they're like, that's must be true. That's true. Internet, and they share it. I need to check.
This is the funny thing about Irish Joe is that's the relationship we have with him here, is that we actually, that's his sort of motto, is that, well, if it's on the internet, it's true, must be true. So I'll bring facts, like about outer space and stuff in. I'll talk with him about it. And I'll tell him and he'll go, no, I don't believe that. And I'll be like, what do you mean you don't believe? That's a fact. And he'll go, no, I would have seen it on the internet. Do you know what I mean? He's that kind of guy. So he'll love this episode. He'll love this episode. Right. He'll be getting him some facts about music.
So social media is reality and fact.
Social reality. That is...
Social reality.
I've just found the name
for a story. Factuality.
Factuality. Is that... That's really good. That's really good. I like social reality, though. I think I could do a good story about that. You know, Black Mirror-esque kind of thing. Yeah, that would be good. Yourself, but you don't scan the timeline, then. You just sort of post up something funny.
The odd time. I try to get people to bite most of the time. Which is a bit sad, but...
I've seen it, though, and I would respond to banter. Playfully. Aye, of course.
I like to call it banter, but other people wouldn't see it. Maybe it's banter.
Because we got into an Ed Sheeran debate online about a year ago, didn't we? But it wasn't. It was just fun. It was just a bit of crack, like. Yeah, of course. Of course, because you were wrong and you knew it. Like, so.
Well, if he's selling 7 million, if he's selling 7 million albums and I'm not, who am I to talk?
Well, but then you compare that to Gangnam Style and you're like, no, but that's too far. You know, Gangnam Style is an old wives' tale. If you were in the 90s, you'd be going, nah, they can't. That's not going to work. We'll take Macarena, but no.
Macarena.
Yeah, but the whole, that's, I mean, there's things, I mean, I always think it was a joke 20 years ago, Alan Partridge, pitching these ridiculous TV shows.
Monkey tennis.
And, you know, there's things less plausible that he pitched, or that he didn't pitch, that have come to fruition. They're on their actual shows now.
Hey,
you know.
I remember getting an Alan Partridge DVD, one of his DVDs, and putting it on, right? I got it from where I just moved here in 2005. It was an older DVD, and I were putting it on, and the whole menu was sex sounds, right? And like the options at the bottom, it was like young naked boys and this and that. I was like, what the fuck? No. But that was just, we set up to, do you know what I mean? So if anybody walked in the room and you had the menu on, that's what they were going to hear. That was lethal.
Was that his lap dance thing with a...
Maybe
he had the sweater, but then he had these gold
black leather
pants.
That was fucking great. But you couldn't do that now. You see, you couldn't have that now.
No,
someone would go, oh no, that's.
Did you ever actually watch any Alan Partridge?
Definitely. He was fucking hilarious. Yeah,
the second series is the best one.
I loved sketch comedy shows.
Smell my cheese.
Sacha Baron Cohen as well. Fuck, wow, the but balls he has to.
The LAG show's sort of dated now, but you know, you're back on it.
I was watching a few clips the last day, but I caught it sort of just the tail end of it dying, I think, in 2005. So I still got it. I still got that little, you know, thing. But geez, like, she watched Borat like just a couple of years ago, and she was like, oh my God, this is fucking hilarious. Yeah. And the new one he's got.
Then there's people who get offended with that too. I mean, I read that book with this guy.
I can understand, but I still love it.
Chavs, the book's called, and it's a real... Oh, what do you call that guy? He's a guard. Owen. Is it Owen Jones, you call him? I think he wrote it. He's a Guardian writer.
He's a labourer.
He mentions like Sacha Baron Cohen and the Little Britain guys. And, you know, basically putting, berating them for being of an upper class and depicting characters from the working class. How dare they? As if, you know, who, why can't they?
That's prejudice. You know, that's prejudice. That's the prejudice, you know. That's prejudice.
You know, let working class people be the judge of that, and they find it funny.
Because it was fucking great. Like, I mean, there was just, even some of the Bruno clips, you're just going, wow. And it was, hey, jokes on that other, he was almost exposing this ridiculous sort of fame.
The LAG film was awful.
I didn't like that. The Dictator, brilliant.
Yeah, it was good.
Amazing. So good. You know.
Definitely Borat was the best though.
Oh, fantastic. I don't know, The Dictator, I really liked that too.
Pamela Anderson.
But that's what it's come to nowadays. But I'm just glad that there's still guys out there doing it that make us laugh, and there's guys like yourselves that can take it that way. Because geez, you gotta be careful. Even at gigs, it's hard to have the crack now.
Yeah.
At gigs, like I used to, because you'd be very careful. Everybody's so offended, and I am under the impression, I've always believed, I don't know who said it, but there's a quote that everyone has the right to be offended, but not everyone that's offended is right. And I'm fully behind that quote. You know, you've got the right to that, but you don't have to be.
No, I mean, people are going out of their way now to be offended. And
it's the boxes. There's feminist and there's
Jeremy Corbyn's getting slated for his anti-Semitic standpoint at the minute, or lack of standpoint. And Boris Johnson can sort of say whatever he wants about Muslims. And, you know, you can't have one and not have the other.
Yeah, that's where it's conversations like this are nice. You know, there's no one here telling us what we can and can't say. We're adults, and we know what we should and shouldn't say. We should be able to have a bit of a laugh.
I mean, it's just because everything's worldwide now, but
it's instant. It's like Twitter is news.
Maybe not a very politically correct point of view, but doing someone's accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that's suddenly you can't be doing that there. But people tried to get offended during the World Cup. There was a little bit of a spat between Roy Keane and Ian Wright.
Oh, really?
And Ian Wright tried to do Roy Keane's accent, the way he says the word final. He tried to do it in a Cork accent. And some people were, how dare he? If he did that, if that was somebody
that's
else.
That's missing
the
punch,
like,
though, isn't it?
But I was like, I'm Irish and I'm trying to be offended, but I can't. I just couldn't be bothered.
I mean, what would they think
about? Not that I'm trying to be offended, but I'm trying to find the offence, and I just can't do it. I just couldn't be. We're big boys, get over it.
Yeah, sure. What would you think about
I don't think Roy Keane was too bothered, so why should we be, you know what I mean?
That's the thing, you know, it's never the person. Yeah. It was like, you remember the whole Japanese dress scandal? This was in the past year, a teen over in America going to high school or junior high prom wore, was it a Japanese kimono or something? She wore some kind of Japanese or Chinese dress.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which. That's probably racist. Someone's going to think that's racist. You know what? They can fuck themselves.
Yeah.
So whoever this girl was, she wore this dress because she thought it was beautiful. And people created this huge uproar on social media about this being racist and insensitive to whichever culture the dress belonged from. I'm not sure which particular culture it came from. And they just gave her so much hell. And then the culture themselves came back and were like, actually, I think she looks pretty in it.
Looks great, yeah.
But she had all these Americans going crazy about it. And it was like, don't start that. You know, and it did the right thing, though. The girl ended up with loads of followers, and it boosted her, you know, social media or whatever, and it, you know, was good for her. She had a lot more support than hate, but it started because of the hate, and that's sad. Like, it's sad that we have that problem now. And as you say, doing someone's accent, come on.
Yeah, and so, you know,
it's a personal attack, and it's a roast, if anything.
Yeah, you know, people just not tack someone on the chin? I mean, we told them at school, Paddy Irishman jokes. Paddy Englishman, Paddy Irishman, Paddy Scotchman. And the brunt of the joke was always the Irishman. We told those jokes ourselves.
Yeah. Joe told one on the first episode.
Yeah.
And I left it in. And you know, it's mad because I had to have a think about it. Before, while I was editing, I really did, genuinely. I had to have a think about it and go, should I keep this in? I thought, because you know what? Fuck them.
Yeah.
This is not a racist show. It never will be. And anyone who thinks it's a racist show is racist. So, you know, there's an Eminem lyric I always loved at the start of one of his songs. He says, you find me offensive. I find you offensive for finding me offensive. That sums it up. That's it. That's, you know, so no, we're not going to worry about it. But I'll tell you what, let's play another track. It's been a fucking pleasure having you guys. This has been the most sensible conversation we've had on the podcast. No one's been drunk. No one's been. There's been no stories about crazy exes or anything.
Lucky
so
it's Tuesday.
This
it's
is Tuesdays. This is a nice, sensible Tuesday. I think they'll love this.
We'll bring our tent the next time and bag of cans.
Absolutely. We'll get maybe get Darren Doherty down to play live for us since we played one of his songs here.
Definitely.
He's got a song I love that he hasn't put out yet, and I'd love it to be debuted here live. So, but for now, I think we'll go with. Well, seeing as we're in Ireland, I've got two lovely Irish guys with me that I know from a lovely Irish pub that loves music. Let's go with The Logues, Price of a Pint, a good Irish tune. And The Logues are from Castledurg, which is not far from Strabane, where Dicey's is. Have they played in Dicey's before?
No, they're currently talking about playing in Dicey's.
Fantastic guys. Great guys. Some of the loveliest guys I've ever met. Their housemate, Tom, who's a barman in the townhouse in Castledurg, did my second live stream with me when I was doing the podcast live. He did my second live stream with me. I actually drove down to get him in Castledurg. He was on the Monday Club with Justin Logue, and Justin was meant to come as well, but no, it wasn't going to happen. Right. So Tom came down and did the gig with me, and it was fantastic. We had a great blast. We had a live chat going and all. So it was a different show altogether. There was no preparation. We actually came in, and we were set to go live, and we'd been live for 3 minutes. Right, and I had been playing the Logue stuff in the running up to it on Spotify, but I hadn't clicked repeat all, or I hadn't clicked repeat the tracks in the playlist. It was just going to the next one, and it went on to like Derek Ryan and Nathan Carter.
All right,
I got hit for copyright on it from those guys, so they got all the money from the show because it played a few clips of there. Yeah, doesn't bother me. But yeah, I think that's a good one to end on, guys. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Ken, here.
Your name is. Do you want to give your full name out?
Christopher.
Christopher. Christopher or Hen. You actually will hear about Hen. We actually had Jordan O'Keefe play you in a story called Condition, where we're in the bar, and the bar is Dicey's and stuff too. So Hen or Christopher from Dicey's, it's been great to have you. Thank you for the support.
Thank you, just
Mickey, it's been fantastic to have you as well. I want to check out your radio show. Tell me the time again.
3 o'clock to 6 tomorrow, and every Wednesday. And the occasional Friday, but always 3 to 6 on a Wednesday.
3 o'clock to 6 o'clock on a Wednesday. That's 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. That's Northern Ireland. That's London or Dublin time. And can we get that online, Drive 105?
You can, drive105.co.uk. There's a Listen Live section there as well.
I'll put a link in the description.
There. Brilliant. Excellent.
Cool. It's been a pleasure, guys. And this is The Logues with Price of a Pint. I'm Mr. Black Pasta with The Bloody Basement. We'll see you next week.
Pipe.
Basement Podcast.
By Mr. Black Pasta.